Mark, let's talk about alchemy for a moment, because you have studied it. Again, the original purpose for alchemy was what? What did they want to do?
The original purpose for alchemy, George, is simply to create this energy of the Holy Grail, this energy that initiates a process of transformation within the human body. This is how it all began. And so to do that, there were many practices that you could do, but ultimately what they would do, these practices would do, would unite the male and the female energies together. The polarity comes together. And I've actually practiced and studied many of these techniques in India. We know that the Templars were involved with some of these practices that they learned through the Sufis, who had in turn learned them from India, but also a lot came up from Kemet, which is the ancient name for Egypt. And that's basically what it's all about, is uniting the polarity together. For example, there are places in the body that are associated with fire. There's places in the body associated with water, so you want to unite the water and the fire. There's in both sexes, there are both male and female hormones. You try to unite those together. Of course, another way is simply uniting the sexes together. That's sexual tantra, uniting the polarity that way. You can also make the physical pill of immortality, or the philosopher's stone, if you will, which is what the alchemists of Europe were trying to do by uniting substances that were associated with the male-female with those associated with the female principle, and calling them philosophical mercury and philosophical sulfur. And by uniting them together in just the right way, it would create a red stone, a very fiery red stone, which kind of simulated the energy of the kundalini power that exists within the human body that does the work of transformation when it's activated.
When I was in school, Mark, they used to tell us that the alchemists wanted to make gold.
That's right, yeah. But that's kind of a lower degenerated version of alchemy. Originally, the alchemy was uniting the polarity within the body and awakening that energy of kundalini. Later on, it became to create the philosopher's stone, so that essentially you're creating that energy outside the physical body, and then you would kind of crumble that philosopher's stone up, that red stone, and then you would spread it, dust a metal like lead, and then it would transform into a gold. But originally, if you study alchemy, they say that the true alchemy is creating that energy, that alchemical energy within the human body.
Coast to Coast guest Lawrence Gardner says that part of the effort of the alchemist was to create a white powder of gold, which would allow them to do incredible things. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes. I've studied all kinds of different forms of alchemy, and certainly that is one of them. And apparently they found that white powder in certain of the temples in Egypt, Mount Sinai, different places such as that. It's a valid approach, and I've actually used the white powder gold myself. However, I haven't gotten very dramatic results from it, and I wouldn't necessarily prescribe it for other people, because there as far as I know, there aren't any real masters on the planet today who have actually gone the whole route of alchemy by taking that white powder gold. So it's actually a little bit dangerous at this point.
Okay, now earlier you were telling me about the martial arts that were important for this. Tell me about that.
Okay, well, the martial arts, one thing is going to break down a person's fear so that they can be a true warrior, a true Gnostic warrior, and live without fear. To develop true Gnosticism, you have to go beyond the fear. That's one thing that keeps us from being in that Gnostic state. It's the fear that keeps our mind generating all these thoughts, and all these thoughts that keep our mind from being totally free. You need a clear mind, what they call in Zen the no mind, before that Gnostic consciousness can really take root. But another reason for these martial arts is so that everybody can learn to move in harmony with the life force. Most of the martial arts started with Tai Chi, which was created by masters in the Far East who knew how to move their body totally in harmony with the life force. And the life force moves in kind of a circular, spiral way, and most of these moves in Tai Chi, you'll find, move in a circular way. Now, if you practice Tai Chi every day, not only will you learn how to move in harmony with the life force physically, but you'll find that everything else in your life becomes more balanced as well. Your job, your relationships, everything. And so, thus, by studying these martial arts, you're able to master not only the physical body, but also many other aspects, other areas of your life.
Do most religions recommend that? I don't think so. I've never heard of that before.
Well, I think that religion is, when I think of religion, I think of kind of entry level, where people are just kind of getting their feet wet on spirituality, mm-hmm. and when they're ready to move on, they move on to these other practices. And I think that when they are ready, they move on to practices such as yoga, such as meditation, such as Tai Chi, where they are working physically to purify their bodies. So I think that you'll find that if you go deeper into spirituality and you study these paths that people embark on when they're really seriously ready to totally commit their lives to a spiritual path.